This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Tom Joslin, Senior Fellow for the Foundation of the Defense of Democracies, with Bill Rojo, his colleague. They keep the Long War Journal. And the Long War Journal, focusing these many years on the war in Afghanistan and before that the war in Iraq. Now we turn attention to Syria. And this is from these last days from the DOD. U.S. Central Command has launched an investigation after a drone strike against a senior al-Qaeda leader in northwest Syria may have killed civilians. Tom, I highlight this because it is a demonstration that the DOD continues to hunt with its drones, in this case an MQ-9 Reaper, hunt the leadership of al-Qaeda. So always good at any point to pull up and say, what is the opinion at Central Command, at CENTCOM, or at the DOD of al-Qaeda? Is it a growing organization? Is it a functioning organization? Is it located only in Syria? What do they say of their official manhunt?
I think the bottom line, John, is that CENTCOM and the U.S. government in general are not providing a lot of details about al-Qaeda globally or with respect to Syria. They're just not explaining to the American public what they think al-Qaeda is at this point or how it's structured or who's who. You notice the statement that came out about this drone strike in Syria. They were quick to highlight the possibility of civilian casualties. That's undoubtedly a response to the growing press criticism or media inquiries about civilian casualties that went unreported in previous strikes. And so they're trying to get on top of that or out in front of that story as it is with this latest strike. But they didn't provide very much information or sort of background info on who was even targeted in Syria. They just described this person as a senior al-Qaeda planner or leader of some sort, but they don't give any biographical details. They don't explain how he fits into al-Qaeda's scheme. They don't say exactly what they thought he was doing. They just sort of try and have you take their word for it that he really was an al-Qaeda guy. Now, look, I don't have the extreme skepticism that some people within the hard left or even now the growing isolationist right have when it comes to these things. Al-Qaeda has a presence in Syria. I know that there are targets or people that could be targeted by the U.S. In a self-defense sort of capacity. But it's really incumbent on the U.S. government to explain this to the American people, explain who was targeted and why. And if it was a mistake, then it was a mistake. But these things need to be full transparency on this, I would say. And, you know, John, I mean, look at that press statement that the CENTCOM put out. Did you learn anything from that about who this al-Qaeda leader is? It's just very general, you know.
It struck me also as outside of the reporting that's going on about Syria, the Assad regime, Russia, Turkey, Idlib province, and the concerns that our ally Israel has about Iran using Syria as a base for the transfer of its extremely sophisticated missiles that are flowing into Hezbollah. In other words, almost as if there are independent conflicts going on all in the same GPS, and there's no need to relate to the other conflicts. How does al-Qaeda have anything to do, if it does, with the opposition to the Assad regime or the convergence of Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, and Syria? Tom, I could go on. You know these things. I know them, but there's no explanation as to why this guy, using an MQ Reaper, a very sophisticated machine, in Idlib province, which is itself an ungoverned space, no attempt to explain to the American people whatsoever what we're paying for.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, John. I mean, this is, in fact, Idlib, I would just say I agree with all that except for one thing. I think Idlib is a governed space. It's governed by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, this, a group that's sort of an al-Qaeda offshoot. It's murky at this point. There's been a lot of tension and a lot of rivalry and conflict between the HTS leadership and al-Qaeda senior leadership, even though the head of HTS was formerly loyal to Ayman al-Zawahiri, the head of al-Qaeda. But, you know, the U.S. government isn't really explaining that at all, isn't explaining, what Hayat Tahrir al-Sham is all about today, isn't explaining the relationship or lack thereof with al-Qaeda senior leadership, isn't explaining how this guy was able to exist in land and territory controlled by HTS. And I think that all gets into you're talking about the geopolitics of it, John. That gets into these thorny issues of the relationship between HTS and Turkey, which is its prime sponsor in Syria, and what the whole revolution against the Assad regime was really all about. You know, one of the things that Bill and I talked about very early on was we were documenting the role of extremists, of jihadists in the uprising against Assad going back to late 2011. And certainly, you know, the uprising started with the ordinary Syrian people. But what we detected very early on was that the most dedicated, the most efficient, the most lethal factions were in fact jihadists or extremists. And you had a lot of people in the West who were trying to look the other way on that and pretend that wasn't the case. Well, it was the case. And so that's not a defense of Assad, but it's just an expression of reality or recognition of reality. And to this day, what you have basically, there is no non-extremist opposition to Assad that's viable. It is basically all extremists or jihadists at this point. And the U.S. government isn't really explaining to the American people who's who or how this all works. And so you have these drone strikes that pop up on occasion in Idlib province. And there's really little connective tissue or explanatory narrative given for them.
Is it possible to understand why the DOD would sign off on an MQ-9 Reaper for one man in Idlib province and how that connects to a threat to the homeland? Do those dots ever connect anymore, Tom? Or is it just, it's like bounty hunting. It feels like the old West here, you know, wanted dead or alive, and there's no other explanation offered.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could connect, John, today, but they're not explaining it. That's the main thing. And you know, the thing is, there has been a consistent stream of threats out of Syria at times. You can point to threats to Europe and to the U.S. We've documented that at Long War Journal. There's definitely a body of evidence there. But what the current status of that is really not clear at all, and is not being explained by the U.S. And this is the point about all this, is that I think that when the U.S. government takes actions like this and doesn't actually explain what happened or why it's doing it or provide a full narrative about to justify its actions, it just fuels the discontent and the rejections of it. And so, you know, I think that that's a mistake. I think either there has to be full transparency and a full explanation, a full buy-in from Congress about what's going on here, or you don't do it, is my view.
This connects in my mind to that drone strike that was used in the last hours in Kabul, where they said they were interrupting a planned attack on American personnel, and it turned out to be a family loading water. This is two notable mistakes in a row. So in these 30 seconds, is there a mood in Congress to call this off, to say, unless you explain this, we can no longer vouchsafe it? We have 30 seconds, Tom.
I think there is an effort in Congress to do that. My view is that I actually agree with critics who say that there needs to be a reauthorization, a repeal, and then a reauthorization of the authorization for use of military force, the 2001 law that allows the U.S. military to conduct such strikes. I think there needs to be strict oversight of these issues, and I think that maybe that's the way to do it.
Tom Justin, the drone strikes continue in Africa as well, which we'll speak to in future, of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies with Bill Rojo and their colleagues. They keep the Long War Journal a chronicle of the episodes now in and around Afghanistan we can document, and then Al-Qaeda in Africa, Al-Qaeda throughout the Ummah. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.